Okay, so Gloria probably needs to reboot the entire computer. So why don't I do the beginning part, Gavin, and then as we finish that, hopefully she'll be able to get on. Lynn, I'm upstairs in the living room. I'm not prepared to play music, but I'm guessing you. So if you could play our song, we'll all greet each other on the board. Thank you.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. Memory, dawn is breaking, waves are coming in, everybody here standing in wonder beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love.
Thank you very much, Lynn. So let me make the announcements that Gloria was going to make this morning. The first announcement, travel with Regina and your mighty companions from Awakening Together on a non-dual contemplative journey through Italy. Visit St. Peter's Basilica, the Catacombs of St. Sebastian, Pompeii, the Monastery of Saint Benedict, Assisi San Domino, Saint Francis Basilica, the Basilica of Saint Clare, and more. Each traveler will receive a book written by Regina specifically for this pilgrimage to inspire deep contemplative reflection at each site visited. Light teaching along the way will complement and enhance the pilgrimage experience. There are two pilgrimage options to choose from. Option one is a 9-day pilgrimage. Option two is a 14-day pilgrimage. There are also scholarships available to help you afford the pilgrimage. For full details about the pilgrimage and scholarship opportunities, go to awakening-together.org, choose retreats and classes from the menu, and then retreats, and you'll find the Italy pilgrimage link there. A few teachings in our sanctuary have been repurposed recently four, in fact. So let me share with you about each of those teachings. The Monday night Michael Langford Study Group will now focus on audios created by Michael Langford and two of his direct students, Brian and Eduardo. There may still be some live discussion in the group whenever the audio is less than 1 hour long. If you are interested in direct teachings from Michael Langford, you can join the Michael Langford Study Group on Monday evenings at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 6:30 p.m. Pacific, and Jay McCormick will be the group facilitator. The other three teachings that I want to tell you about all happen on Wednesdays. First off, join us for Unfiltered with Anne Blanchard. Anne shares her experience of purification and awakening as it happens. Raw, reflective, brave, and infused with clarity. Anne's open honesty inspires us all to dive deep into the spiritual journey. The reason Anne's program is being recorded is by request of those who have listened in the last few weeks. And so we'll start recording that teaching this week. But I encourage you to join live if you are available. Her program is at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesdays. That's 10:30 a.m. Pacific, right? No, that's 11:30. Wait, no, that's 10:30 a.m. Pacific, yeah. Yes, 10:30 a.m. Pacific. Another teaching on Wednesday that's been repurposed is Reverend Jacqueline Eckert's. She is shifting her focus. So instead of teaching Papaji, she will teach a new program called As It Is. Jacqueline will share about the ups and downs of the spiritual journey, including sharing stories from her own journey, sharing direct insight that she receives from inner wisdom. And she will also share guidance that inspires her from both contemporary and legendary spiritual masters. Jacqueline's teaching is on Wednesdays at 5 p.m., that's noon Eastern Time. And in fact, there's a little series that happens there. Anne's teaching of Unfiltered, Gina's teaching of the Guiding Light, and then Jacqueline of As It Is right in a row. And that all begins with Anne's teaching again at 1:30 Eastern Time, and then Regina's teaching is at 12 Eastern Time. No, sorry, 12 my time. Forgive me for the time zone mess ups. So Anne's teaching is at 1:30 Eastern Time, Regina's is at 2 Eastern Time, and then Jacqueline is at 3 Eastern Time. And of course, in my mind, I have to translate all that to Mountain Time, and some of you may need to translate to Central Time or Pacific Time. Now, the third repurposed teaching is Reverend Helen Avery. Her new program is called Life as Love. Helen will share candid experiences from her path of awakening, drawing on the words of Muji, Regina Dawn Akers, and other non-dual teachers. Helen will share the love and fear that arises as she commits to practices of self-inquiry, contemplation, and listening to inner guidance. You can listen to Helen on Wednesdays from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 3:30 to 4 Pacific. And just to let you know, the Michael Langford Study Group, Anne Blanchard's Unfiltered, Jacqueline Eckert's As It Is, and Helen Avery's Life as Love are all recorded and can be found on the Awakening Together website under Audios and Videos Sanctuary Highlights. Regina's Guiding Light teaching is available on reginadonakers.com. Also, tonight is our quarterly member meeting. The meeting will be held right here in the sanctuary at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 5 p.m. Pacific. That's right after Regina's Seven Steps to Awakening and just before Craig's weekly satsang, Craig Holiday's weekly satsang. So it's sandwiched in between the two. At tonight's member meeting, I will share more about the Italy pilgrimage. I will also go over our 2017 annual financial report. And Lisa Hester will be here with me at my home, and we will talk to you about the Retreat House fundraising campaign, give you some updates on that. So those are our announcements, and what I will do now is release the mic to see if Gloria can get it.
All right, do I have any sound yet? Oh my goodness. Thank you. Thank you, Regina, for reading the announcements there. I am totally unsure why you weren't able to hear me. I was able to hear everything just fine, but it's okay. We're here now, so thank you. Good morning, beloveds. It is a pleasure to be back here with you all. Last month, at the beginning of the month, I was returning from seeing my granddaughter for her third birthday, and this month I'm returning from the birth of another grandchild unexpectedly. My daughter wasn't due until May, so she was very early, but both mother and my granddaughter Brooklyn are doing superbly wonderful. It was truly amazing to me to see. I've never actually seen a live, real life premature baby. So my granddaughter weighed in at 1 pound, 14 ounces. So to see life contained in 1 pound, and when I say she's perfectly formed, she's perfect in every way, she's just small. So to see a life, all of life, within 1 pound of human was just a phenomenal experience for me. And I'm very much still I'm just returning hours ago from visiting with her, and I'm just very still much, you know, in doubts about the whole situation. So, but it is wonderful to, yes, she definitely wanted to be here, Tony. She is feisty and beautiful. So again, wonderful to be here with you all. We've already had the announcements for this week. I do believe that the next item on our agenda for this morning, I'm going to ask Lynn to play an opening song or another song for us, and I will rejoin us with prayer after that. So, Lynn, this mic is yours.
Sometimes we claim to seek God, but cling to a concept of grace so rigidly that we fail to see what's staring us right in the face. Sometimes we pray with our mouth. I say pray with your ears and unclench that fist with your shopping list and see what's here, what's already here, right here in the middle of your land, wrapped without rhythm is all life. You may not be what you thought you'd see. Do you suppose if you look a little closer, thank you. the vast abyss I'm alone, wants to swallow us whole. If love is truly your goal, why would you set a foot apart if you can bear the pain? Love's terrain, she'll take you straight to her heart.
All right, thank you very much for that song, Lynn. And if you'll join me now for prayer. I am deeply grateful today. Just a complete sense of gratitude for life itself, for the experience of living life, witnessing life, and being a part of life. I'm also very grateful for the opportunity to continue on this journey in this way, where I'm allowed to share my contemplations, my revelations, my understandings. With all of you, and I'm grateful for you as well. Today, I just want to talk about a topic, purpose. What we truly aspire to on this spiritual journey. And I release this gathering to Holy Spirit and ask that whatever needs to be said is said, whatever needs to be heard is heard. And I give thanks in advance. And so it is, and so I let it be. Amen. All right. So today's gathering. Today we're talking about no permission slip required. today's reading, it will come from Adi Ashanti's book, The Way of Liberation. From the very first chapter, the first foundation, my reader for today is Reverend Jerry Scott. So I'm going to release this mic to Jerry and ask her to come forward and read for us Adi Ashanti's Way of Liberation. Jerry, this mic is yours.
Thank you, Gloria. Good morning. In chapter one, it begins with clarify your aspiration. To clarify your aspiration means exactly what it is that your spiritual life aspires to. Not as a future goal, but in each moment. In other words, what do you value most in your life? Not in the sense of moral values, but in a sense of what is most important to you. Contemplate this question. Do not assume that you know what your highest aspiration is, or even what is most important to you. Dig deep within, contemplate, and meditate on what the spiritual quest is about for you. Don't let anyone else define your spiritual aspiration for you. Look within until you find with complete clarity what you aspire to. The importance of this first foundation cannot be overemphasized because life unfolds along the lines of what you value most. Very few people have truth or reality as deep values. They may think that they value truth, but their actions do not bear this out. Generally, most people have competing and conflicting values, which manifest as both internal and external conflict. So just because you think something is your deepest value does not mean that it actually is. By deeply contemplating, clarifying what you value and aspire to, you become more unified, clear, and certain of your direction. As your realization and spiritual maturity deepen, you will find that some aspects of your aspiration remain steadfast, while others evolve to reflect what is relevant to your current level of insight. By reflecting on and clarifying the issues relevant to your current level of understanding, you say focus on the cutting edge of your own unfolding. Making clear what you aspire to is the first step. It has the effect of gathering energy and attention together into a unified force and directing it toward your aspiration. Once you have clarified your aspiration, you now need to follow through on it. Following through has to do with what you are willing to do or let go of doing. Spirituality does not require that you work hard toward achieving a result in the future, as much as it requires you to be fully present, sincere, and committed now with absolute honesty and a willingness to uncover and let go of any illusion that comes between you and the realization of reality. Therefore, spirituality does not have to do with time or what can be achieved in time. It has to do only and always with the eternal present. Aspiration is not so much a matter of the mind as of the heart, in that it is a reflection of what you cherish, love, and value most. You do not need to be reminded of what you truly love, only of what you do not love. And what you actually love is most truly reflected in your actions, not in what you feel, think, or say. When aspiration lines up with unconditional follow-through and love, it becomes a very strong force in the universe. Only then we are unified and one-pointed enough for our aspiration to survive the winds of folly, fate, and circumstance. Thank you, and letting go of the mic.
All right, and thank you very much, Reverend Jerry. That was very well read, and thank you for reading this morning. All right, so I do want to mention the core value that today's reading and sharing will hopefully reflect on here, and that is core value number 3. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. And that is, again, core value number 3. All of our core values are out on the website, so take a look at those there. Okay, so this reading really points to one of the key factors in and on this spiritual journey. And that is our aspiration, what we aspire to on this spiritual path. One of the major points that this reading actually focused in on is that our aspirations ultimately reflect what we value the most. And of course, here for us, this is not an uncommon theme at all. We've read and shared many times from Michael Langford's work, The Direct Means to Eternal Bliss, and that book has actually burned like an image in my mind of someone drowning and grasping for air. You know, as an example of how much dedication is needed when it comes to our desire or liberation. So this reading acts a very simple, but a very profound question. And that is, what is most important to you? What's most important to me? Because as the reading points out here, our aspirations ultimately will reflect what we value the most. So the question, what's important to me, is a very, very profound and poignant question that we're asked to contemplate within this reading. And as I personally contemplated this particular question, even before the birth of my grandchild that I spoke about, this topic was, and I think it's just beautiful to watch how all things work together perfectly. And so this topic, this discussion was already in play. It was already in my awareness to speak about this topic and this reading. I was already contemplating and spending time in contemplation about what's most important to me. Initially, when I did the contemplation, what came up after sitting with that question was my family, my loved ones, the people who love me, the people who allow me to love. And of course, my spiritual aspiration was there as well. It was. But the question again was, what's most important to me? And when I think of what's most important, my family and the people I love is what initially came up for me. So as I contemplated that particular question, I could see that really my, you know, that type of love was giving me this permission slip to be the love that I really am. And when I say family, I'm not just speaking about my biological family, my children and, you know, my mother and father. I'm speaking of extended family, not just extended relatives, but people such as you all. But the question I really had to think about there was, do I really need that permission slip to love? Can I just allow love to be what it is? And it was about that point that I began to see that why clarifying the aspiration, as this reading pointed out, is so very important. Because as I went deeper into that contemplation, it also revealed that the same thing that's important to me, the same thing that's that I'm holding at a very high level within my awareness, is also the source of my biggest challenges when it comes to things like judging and allowing. So at that point, I was getting into what Adia called in this reading, competing and conflicting values. He said in this reading here, generally, most people have competing and conflicting values, which manifest as both internal and external conflict. So you see, if we're not crystal clear about what we truly value the most and why we value those things, what purpose they have for us, then we leave huge gaps, huge openings for these competing and conflicting values to take root and manifest themselves in our everyday existence. Huge gaps. And when we talk about values and what we value most, we would be remiss not to include Lesson 133 from the Course. I will not value what is valueless. When I went back and I also sat with and contemplated that lesson as well. And there are many nuggets, many, many wonderful nuggets within Lesson 133, including the choice for everything or nothing at all. But in that lesson, there was another section that I want to include here today. And that section says, your next consideration is the one which all the others rest. Why is the choice you make of value to you? What attracts your mind to it? What purpose does it serve? Here it is easiest of all to be deceived, for what the ego wants, it fails to recognize. It does not even tell the truth as it perceives it, for it needs to keep the halo which it uses to protect its goals from tarnish and from rust, that you may see how, quote-unquote, innocent it is. So in that section from lesson 133 in A Course in Miracles, we can see that even there, Holy Spirit is giving us these wonderful questions to contemplate. Why is the choice you make of value to you? And for me, that was easily answered. I already had an example to work with. I already, when I contemplated what was most important to me, you know, and family and love and that permission slip that family gave me to be the unconditional love that I am, to express that unconditional love, I could see why that was a choice of value to me. Because at the very core of my being, that is what I know myself to be, is love. So of course, the ability to express this unconditional love is very appealing and a very innocent way for the ego to use that in a different sort of way, you know, not towards the awakening process, because again, as I mentioned, that is also a great source of challenge as well, that those competing values. What purpose it served for me was also very easy for me to see. Again, it allowed me to love. But these competing values, they create this inner conflict, and that inner conflict ultimately blocks the light of truth for us. And the more truth is revealed, the more truth is allowed to be revealed to us and expressed from us, through us, the closer we come to experiencing our aspiration, right? Not just having that as an aspiration, but having the experience of our aspiration, which actually brings me back to the reading for today. Also, in this reading, Adi Ashanti wrote, see, as your realization and spiritual maturity deepen, you will find that some aspects of your aspiration remain steadfast while others evolve to reflect what is relevant to you at your current level of insight. By reflecting on and clarifying the issues relevant to your current level of understanding, you stay focused on the cutting edge of your own unfolding. Right? So here we can see that it's a natural byproduct, if you will, that as we continue to remove the blocks to love's presence, to become one-pointed and one-focused in our aspiration. He says here that, and I've experienced this, which is why I included that part in today's sharing, is that some parts of my aspiration have remained steadfast, right? The one, the core value that I reflected on at the beginning of today's reading. Our practice is letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. That part of my aspiration has remained steadfast throughout this journey, throughout my spiritual journey. That has remained as the forefront, as he mentioned here. But other parts, other areas have evolved tremendously over time, and it's because of what he's saying here, reflecting on and clarifying right? Getting that clarity and that understanding, as you get that, your level of understanding increases. And it allows us to stay right out there on that cutting edge, unfolding and evolving in a very natural and progressive way, which is what this is all about. But it's also about remaining very present, you know, in this very moment, you know, not, you know, going out into the world and, you know, it's about being right here, right now. And this opportunity, as I mentioned during my prayer today, the opportunity to speak here and share in my clarity, or the clarity that comes to me throughout my journey as I'm evolving, I have that opportunity in speaking to reflect even deeper and to clarify even further my level of understanding. So for me, my goal always is to consistently evolve that level of understanding and to go beyond these limitations, you know, these beliefs that I've accepted, that I've created. And the barriers that are there disguised innocently. You know, what I was saying about family love, it doesn't mean that I, you know, don't continue to love my family. Of course I do, as all of us do. But there's a new understanding of the broadness, the all-encompassing, inclusive nature of love. Also in this reading, Adi Ashanti talks about following through. And I'm going to read just or reread a small part there from this following through section. He says that following through has to do with what you're willing to do or let go of doing. Spirituality does not require that you work hard toward achieving a result in the future as much as it requires that you be fully present, sincere, and committed now with absolute honesty and a willingness to uncover and let go of any illusion that comes between you and the realization of reality. He says also, when aspiration lines up with unconditional follow through in love, it becomes a very strong force in the universe. Only then are we unified and one-pointed enough for our aspiration to survive the winds of folly, fate, and circumstance. So becoming unified and one-pointed requires clarity of aspiration. I mean, it's a requirement of having this type of aspiration. It has to be one-pointed. And we have to have this unconditional follow-through and love in order to survive what Adia is calling here the winds of folly, fate, and circumstance, which in one word is life. Folly, fate, and circumstance. To truly evolve, this is necessary. And what I personally discovered in preparing for this reading is that there was this really deep desire to love and to be loved which is fine. I mean, but what's required for me is to expand on what's lovable. Is what I really came to understand, because it's all love at the end of the day, right? As a part of this awakening process, we come to understand, as a matter of fact, during the announcements today, I don't recall who exactly, but someone has a program coming out called Life is Love. Life as love. It's exactly what it is. It is life as love. Learning to live a life that knows only love, that recognizes only love, that expresses and reveals only love. It's the deepest desire. And it's a beautiful aspiration. But again, for me, it involves expanding out on what's actually lovable. Releasing the illusions and the barriers between that block, that reality, that only love is real. And to become so one-pointed in my desire for liberation that these winds of circumstance, folly, and fate that I've experienced at a very deep firsthand level, and I'm sure many of you have as well, that Adia spoke about here in this reading, that they have ultimately little or no impact on my ability to remain steadfast in my peace. You see, the more we evolve this understanding, the closer we come to living this way all the time without effort. And I think that's a beautiful aspiration, a powerful aspiration. And as this reading pointed out here, it's not about working hard. It's not about achieving a result in the future. It's about being fully present here now, sincere, committed to continued clarity, continued unfolding, absolute honesty, willingness. None of these things that he mentioned in this reading are quote unquote hard work. Presence, sincerity, honesty, willingness. And that willingness is to let go and uncover these illusions. As long as that's there, naturally the process will work to make us more unified and one-pointed in our aspirations, which we know by now is critical. Adia calls it the first foundation here in this chapter. Michael Langford has said that, you know, there's nothing more important than this one-pointed aspiration. And in order to get one-pointed in our aspiration, we need this type of clarity. And I just think, you know, what he says here about when our aspiration lines up with this unconditional follow through and love, the force that it becomes in the universe. You know, we've heard many times that Holy Spirit only needs a bit of our willingness to work, you know, to work on our behalf, to help us to evolve. So this reading is saying when we line up with that one-pointed focus with our aspiration and we have this unconditional follow-through with this honesty, presence, and sincerity, it becomes a very powerful force in the universe. Beautiful. very powerful indeed. Because that's what truth has the ability to do. It has the ability to reveal the power and the majesty that has always been there. So, I want to close today with a section from the intro of The Way of Liberation. This wasn't included in the reading Reverend Jerry read from the first chapter, which is the first foundation, but there was a section, a paragraph in the intro of this particular book that Adi Ashanti wrote that I'd like to share with you all. It says that awakening is neither a magic cure for all that ails you, nor an escape from the difficulties of life. Such magical thinking runs contrary to the unfolding of reality and is a great impediment to its mature expression. The aim of this teaching is to wake up to the absolute nature of reality, then embody and live it to the fullest extent possible. Such awakening does eventually bring a sense of deep peace, love, and well-being. But these are the byproducts of the awakened state, not the goal. It is not the pursuit of the greater and greater states of happiness and bliss that leads to enlightenment, but the yearning for reality and the rabid dissatisfaction with living anything less than a fully authentic life. Again, we get the sense from that paragraph that this yearning, this deep, consistent desire for truth is the way to enlightenment, to awakening. And it doesn't mean that we magically cure everything about life that we don't like, because we're in this process. They're byproducts, that peace, love, and well-being, byproducts of the awakened state. So with that, going to contemplate that I'd like you to think about is truly what is most important to you. This will dictate your actions, your aspirations, and everything else. And it's a very important question. Listen to the song Contemplate. That question, post the link in the relations. If you are inspired or inclined to donate, we do welcome and appreciate those donations. And so, Lynn, if you will play a song for us to contemplate, I'm going to release this mic to you, and love to you all. Thank you. thank you very much, Lynn. And hopefully you all had an opportunity to contemplate what is truly most important to you. Again, that is going to be, and even if you didn't, I know I had to sit with this question, you know, more than one time to really feel like, yes, that's what really what's coming up for me as something that's really important. So whether you discover, whatever you discovered, when you contemplated that question, know that if it's anything other than the one goal, to let go of the individual self, the belief in the individual self is who we are, know that we don't need that as a permission slip to do so. And the more we question that, the deeper we go with that question, the more clarity will certainly be revealed. So I do see Regina posting that two donations came in during the song. Absolutely. Thank you to those for those donations. Thank you. All right, so I do want to allow time for anyone who would like to speak or comment on today's gathering. So if you'd like to do so, now is the time to do so, and you can raise your hand and I'll go ahead and release the mic to you. All right, Tony, I do see your hand up and the mic is yours.
Thank you very much, Gloria, for your wonderful sharing today. I don't normally share on Sundays, but I just feel something came up during your sharing, and I felt like I just wanted to share this with all of you. And you had asked what is most important to me, and it feels like, you know, the pain of recognizing myself as an individual person is something that's very important to me. It seems to be very painful to be an individual, separated self, and that's what I want most of all. During your talk, I went back into my journals, and I remember covering this in true discernment, and then also as a spiritual aspiration in last year's Consistent Gentle Healing, what my spiritual aspiration is, and it hasn't changed so far, but it is to love genuinely, serve genuinely, and know thyself. And yesterday, well, my father-in-law, he had passed away on Thursday night, and yesterday I was in my home by myself, and my husband's been at his mother's house since his father passed away. So the doorbell rang, and there was someone who was delivering a planter. It was my next door neighbor with this beautiful little saying, and it touched me deeply. And I also found at the front door a tray of pastries, and from a different person. And I thought, wow, what so much love out there that people have, and it's expressed maybe in a time where they felt it's mostly needed. But typically, I'm not much of a phone person. I don't really call people to just chat and whatever. I don't like to stay on the phone too long, and a lot of times I will message people through texts, but for some reason I felt an urgent desire to actually speak to these two beautiful people that reached out to us to express their love. And I just felt like I wanted them to know that they, even if I didn't say it that way, that just by my expression of the gratitude and the thoughtfulness and the love that they had expressed to us, how I am felt completely reciprocated to do the same. It wasn't an obligatory phone call that I felt like, oh, this is what you're supposed to do. Somebody did this for you. It wasn't like that at all. It was much more deeper and genuine. And it's maybe something very simple for other people, but for me it was very profound. And I was moved by the entire experience. So I just wanted to share that with all of you. And thank you very much again, Gloria, for the beautiful sharing.
And thank you so much, Tony. That, sorry to hear about the loss there, but thank you very much for sharing. That was a beautiful expression of love. And Christina, this mic is yours.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you for sharing. I surrender all. I surrender all, and God bless you, Tony, and your family. And I just love you guys so much. And again, thank you so much. I wanted to share with you. I've been praying, surrendering everything to Jesus, everything. And yesterday morning, I wake up very early. Good morning, Iris, Cheryl, everyone. And in my kitchen, oh, excuse me, I have so much gratitude and love. It just, this divine energy is just flowing to me and through me, and I'm sharing here to bless all of us. Because I turned as I was listening to Prudence in the morning and doing my lessons and everything. Anyway, we are such beautiful gifts from God. And I was touched on my right shoulder, and the voice said to me, look to your right. And so I look to my right, and I see this beautiful angel in my kitchen. Now this is like 6:30 in the morning. And I just am so, so, so grateful. These tears are tears of joy and gratitude. And I just love God and Christ, and I've been asking for correction. And oh, you guys, this morning, she's here again. And I just like, wow. You know, just the gratitude. I'm just so grateful to God. Just so, so grateful. And thank you, Gloria, you just when you share. And when all of you share, you just bring my heart to the now moment, to the holy instant, to being with God and his angels and Christ, and all of us are so, so blessed. And Regina, thank you so much for having this beautiful service. It just brings me such joy. And I am so blessed, and we are so blessed. We are so, so blessed by God and his angels. And I thank you, and I bless you, and I love you. And I'm dropping the mic. I don't know what happened here, but
all right, thank you so much, Christina, for sharing. I thank you, I bless you, and I love you as well. All right, so I do see Jay with his hand up. We are at the time now where we need to close our gathering. Jay, I'm going to ask that you please share during our fellowship time today. I'm also going to ask Lynn to please play a closing song. And next up is Fellowship Hour, led by Reverend Ken and Reverend Becky. So if you'd like to hang around and continue to share, that time will open up next. Lynn, if you'll go ahead and play a closing song for us, please. And that's all for now.
Nothing to seek, nothing to gain, nothing to know. Nothing to lose, nothing to do but let go. Let's rest here, where the future and the past disappear. Here, in the sanctity of now. Nothing to prove, nothing to own, no one to be. Nowhere to move, already home, already free. Let's just stay in the cave of the heart today and bask in this ever-present nothing to fix, nothing to change, nothing to fight, only what is, what if what is just right. Why not try? Mystery living us and rest in the refuge of the self. Nothing to judge, no one to blame or fear. Nothing outside,
nothing outside
that isn't inside myself. Let's just see, is anyone here but me? Thank you. nothing to do, no one to be. Nowhere to go, already home, already free. Nowhere to go,
nowhere to go,
already home,
already home,
already free.